We are back, Bob Pompiani with Austin Bechtold, as Joe Starkey is enjoying the week off. 412-928-9370. He's probably playing golf, but I just got back from a golf trip, and it was a very interesting one.
As far as I know, he was spending a couple days in Buffalo as well.
Oh. Are there good courses up there to play in Buffalo?
Possibly, and to visit his family. Yeah. How was your golf trip, Bob?
It was awesome, man. I would encourage anyone. I know it's a little bit pricey to do this, but I've waited until now, and it's one of those bucket list thing items that as you get older, you want to kind of check off. And going to Scotland, which is the home of golf at St. Andrews and all the other courses, including Carnoustie, it's worth doing, you know, because at the end of the day, all you got left are memories and things you want to do with your family and friends. So if you get a chance, you should do it.
No doubt.
And they have such a different kind of lifestyle over there. You know, it's laid back. I mean, their day starts later, ends early. They make time for, you know, a little happy hour. It's a whole different kind of outlook as opposed to the hustle bustle that we have in this country, it seems.
When do the days start, basically, for them then?
Well, I know when the day ends. The sun doesn't, you know, go down in the summertime until 10:30 at night.
Really?
So they take tee times all the way till 6:30 at night. You can get on. That's your first, the last tee time. So if you want to play at 6:30, it stays light until 10:30, unless you play in 6 hours, and then you'll never get done.
When does the sun rise?
Early, like 4 o'clock in the morning. In fact, I found that out the hard way because in the hotel room, you know how you leave a crack open and you don't even know it in your window? And all of a sudden, it's like a laser beam's coming in. I'm like, what? And I looked at my watch, and it was like 4:42. It's already sunrise.
So you were getting, what, 6 hours of sleep then on this trip?
Not that much. And it was hard. I don't know about you, but I have a hard time sleeping away from home. I just do.
Sometimes I do, yeah.
But I think that's a great trip. Anyone wants to do it, check it out. There's some great courses that are on the St. Andrews property, which are not St. Andrews, the old course. But it's one's called Jubilee, one's called the New Course. They have all these different courses, and they're all really good to play.
So they don't get like 8 hours of darkness then in the middle of the night.
Well, that's just for this time of the year, yes.
How do they sleep?
I don't know.
Everybody has blinds?
You must have those blind thing. Yeah. Whatever it is, you got to have them because it's too light.
When does the day end? Like, do they work 9 to 5 or do they work
nine to three? Sure, some do, but I think most of them are out. They're pubs everywhere. They're great little pubs. They talk about their days. It's just a laid-back kind of thing. Very little crime, if at all, which is great. So you don't have to worry about that so much when you're out late. But we went to another course called Dumbarney.
Dumbarney.
They start with, everybody takes a shot of Dumbarney whiskey on the first hole to start your day. They
How
bring
was
it
that?
Out to you on a big tray, and here you go. That was good, except I hooked my drive. I was seeing it was strong whiskey.
Very strong Dumbarney.
What did you think of Scottie Scheffler winning again?
It's pretty impressive, Bob, and he ran away with it.
And he's not going to be denied. The only person who can stop him is him, I think.
What was so impressive is that he won his fourth major in the exact amount of time that it took Tiger to win his fourth major compared to when they won their first.
However.
Unreal.
I mean, he's been, you know, he's got a long way to go to catch Tiger in some
no
of
doubt.
These things. But at the same time, he's doing stuff that we haven't seen since Tiger, right? So, I think, he's going to complete the career Grand Slam pretty quickly, I would think. Although, I thought that about Rory McIlroy, too. And it took him a long time to finally do it. But he did it eventually. It took a big weight off his shoulder. But that's a very competitive thing. You got to be like, look at DeChambeau. If he didn't shoot 78 in the first round, he would have won the thing.
Yeah, he was incredible.
Because he came back like really big after that, and just, you know, that's the bottom line.
That's the thing for DeChambeau. He always has like one day that just crushes him when he doesn't win the tournament. Like, obviously, he's had U.S. Opens and a lot of big events where he's been able to finish the job, but whenever he loses and you're like, man, Scotty or Bryson just missed out, it's because of days like that where they have a big blow-up
right.
number.
That's the thing. You can't have those, and if you do, it takes you out of contention. But this is interesting about Scheffler, some of the stuff he's done. When you talk about players to win multiple majors by 4 shots or more in the same season, there are only 3 guys who've ever done it. Ben Hogan did it in 1953, Tiger Woods in the year 2000 when he was at the height of his game, and then Scottie Scheffler in 2025. So when he wins big, and he does not lose when he leads after 3 rounds. Another thing that Tiger did. So now they got Ryder Cup. Are you a Ryder Cup fan?
Not really, no. I'll watch all the majors, and I'll watch some PGA Tour events, but that's basically it.
Well, they're going to play this year at Bethpage Black in New York, and it's a really raucous crowd in New York. They'll come out and hope that the Americans can win. Americans don't have as much lately than compared to the Europeans. They're really, as a team, they seem to work better together. I don't know why that is, but that's how that seems to work.
Who are the Americans sending out there?
Well, Keegan Bradley's the captain. He's going to, I mean, you go by the point standings, who are the best, and they're obvious ones, obviously, with Scottie Scheffler leading the way. Keegan Bradley probably should call his own name and become a player coach, player whatever, because he's been that good. And here at Oakmont, he was in contention too. So that'll be interesting to see, because that's always and I want to give a shout-out to Nathan Smith. Do you know who he is?
I do not.
He's a great local golfer, one of the best amateur golfers in his time, and he is going to captain the Walker Cup team. And that's the best young American players versus overseas, and that'll be out at Cyprus in the Pebble Beach area in September.
Ooh,
so it's a
fun.
Big honor for Nathan Smith, so congratulations to him.
Congrats, Nathan.
We've got to give those guys some props when they get a chance. 412-928-9370. Coming up at 1 o'clock, Jeff Hathorn will be here. We're going to get back to trade deadlines. If you have a take, call now. Try to get in on that, what the Pirates will do. I look at standings here, and I'm trying to figure out how many teams are actually in need of starting pitching. I counted, I don't know about you, I counted six teams that could use a bona fide starting pitcher at this time of the year, and they're all in contention to win something, whether it's a wild card berth or whether it's a division championship, and they have injuries to deal with. It's all going to be part of this whole thing. So Toronto right now is on a roll. They've won a lot of games in a row. They've taken over the lead in the American League East. The Yankees are in second, four back. The Yankees could need some starting pitching help. They've had some injuries there. The Red Sox have creeped back into this thing. Tampa Bay is now fading the other way, even though they're over 500. But Detroit, they don't have to worry about that. Cleveland, too far out. Kansas City, I don't think any of those teams are going to be. Houston's another team. Houston had two injuries, one of which is, I think, the guy's back. But they're in first place, and they're in quite a battle. Seattle's behind them, and then Texas is trying to get back into this thing. So those are the teams in the American League. And in the National League, the Phillies and Mets are tied up big. The Mets are probably the one team, given all their injuries. They've been mentioned with Mitch Keller. And I looked into their system. I don't know what they have, but I do like some players on their current roster, which to me is the conundrum. If you're trying to win, you want to bring in a pitcher like Mitch Keller, but you have to give up someone from the roster that has been helping you win so far this season. That's a tough thing to do, which is why I always think you get more in return if you wait till the end of the season, in the offseason.
That's still, I mean, I understand the reasoning for that, but at the same time, MLB Network just put up a graphic on one of their shows earlier today, MLB Central. Potential available starting pitchers at the deadline. They included Mitch Keller with Edward Cabrera of the Marlins, who's a young starter, 16 games at 361 ERA. Will they trade him? Who knows? Andrew Heaney's on this list. Charlie Morton, Eric Fetty of the Cardinals, who's having a decent year, and Herman Marquez of Colorado with a 567 ERA. What stands out above the rest on that list, Bob? Mitch Keller.
He's
clear and obvious, the number one.
3.38 earned run average. Quality starts every time he gets out there.
If they think that this is the list of the most likely available starting pitchers, Mitch Keller is the best.
Well, Andrew Heaney has gone backwards here. He's given up more home runs than anyone, I think, in the National League. And he got clobbered the other day. So he looked good at the beginning of the season. I don't know, out of gas now. Although he has postseason experience. There are teams that would like that. And we'll see what happens here. All right, what do we got? Callers on the line at 412-928-9370. I think Austin's actually taking one right now. So I'll wait till he gets done with that one. If anyone has a take on the trade deadline.
Let's get to Larry. He's in Mount Pleasant.
What's
he wants
up, Larry?
To talk about the Pirates.
How are you? Oh, where did he go?
Oh, Larry hung up.
That was too rushed. I should have waited a little. Let it breathe a little bit. You just got off the phone with him, so maybe I rushed that whole situation. But tonight, the Pirates and the Tigers. Are you a believer in the Tigers as a legitimate World Series team?
I think they need more offense. Like, their pitching is very good with Skubal, and Casey Mize is good, and Jack Flaherty, I think, is better than his numbers have indicated. Their bullpen is solid. If they can find, like, another bat to lengthen their lineup, then I believe that the Tigers can make a run in the playoffs. Considering what they did at the end of the year last year, they just picked up where they left off. They're the best team in baseball. They were over 20 games over 500 coming into the series before losing last night.
All right, when you look at wild cards at this point, the Yankees, the Mariners, and the Red Sox are in those positions with Tampa Bay a game and a half back. See, I look at teams like that want to make one push. Boston can use some help. But again, I don't know how much they would be willing to give you at this point of the season, you know, because they need, and I'm not interested if I'm the Pirates, unless it's a big-time prospect. I am not interested in just taking another franchise's 10th or 13th ranked prospect. They have enough of those. They need people who are close to, if not in the majors already. And if that happens, it would help them moving forward to try to end this ridiculous streak of offensive ineptitude that we've seen throughout the course of the season. And again, the crime of it was that they knew this last offseason that they needed help with offense, and they didn't do anything about it. 412-928-9370, and we'll see if this offseason, and it should be way different for the Pirates and way different for Bob Nutting. But it all starts with what they do at this trade deadline, and if Ben Cherington makes some significant moves that could result in something that would help them. But his track record indicates that that's not something that you should expect. Although, he's at the last leg potentially of his tenure here in Pittsburgh. Who knows? I don't know what the future is for him. I still don't know what his contract length is. So Shelton's gone. He had time left on a contract. And so Cherington is next up, and a big decision will be on him. All right, who do we go to now? I saw we got a bunch of them.
All right, let's go to Greg in Youngstown. He's on the line.
Hello, Greg. What's up?
Just driving back from one of our dealerships. Hey, the thing about the trades, I mean, I don't want to trade Bednar. I don't want to trade Santana. I don't want to trade Cowler. I want to win next year. So we trade all of our good players. I mean, our pitching staff after Cowler and Skeens is not good. It's not. It's a hot mess. Everybody's overrating our pitching staff, except for Skeens and Cowler and Bednar and our other closer. The rest of it's not good. So I don't know what people are thinking.
Well, what we're thinking is if Bob Nutting doesn't open up the wallet, they got to do something, because it all starts with him. All of this talk we have, it's nonsense to bring up all these different things without really hitting the biggest problem of all, and that's his lack of spending. To your point, Greg, if you keep all those guys, and I would understand that, because if you put those two at the top of your rotation, if Chandler should come up, and a lot of ifs, I get that part of it too, which makes you wonder about the actual depth that looks good on paper. But you can easily fix your offense in the offseason if you're willing to spend money.
I know. Did Bednar say he was going to sign a team-friendly deal? I mean, why don't you sign the guy? I mean, what do you got to lose? Trying to build a bullpen again is going to be a disaster. So now we're going to have to pick up relievers again and see if they work. I mean, you got to sign some players. They have to, like, put some money into this team. You just can't abandon ship and let these guys leave. Bob, you know for a fact, if we start losing players again, we're going to have to start bringing other players in. We have no clue if they're going to be good, especially if they're AA or AAA players. Again, and then Skeens is going to get upset, and then Skeens is going to want to get traded, I guarantee, next year. I mean, it's going to be a disaster.
Well, Skeens doesn't strike me as someone who would do that. He's just going to wait his time. He'll know when it's time, and they'll know when it's time. If they're going to meet his, that'll eventually take care of itself. But I'm operating under the assumption that you have him for at least 2 years, and in those 2 years, you should do everything in your human possibility to go out and get what you got to get to make this team better. So, Greg, you're right about that, and thank you. I'm not interested in AA prospects. I just am not. Who's next, Austin?
All right, let's go to Vinny in Springdale to
Vinny.
Chime in.
What's up, Vinny? How are you?
Hey, Bob, how you doing today?
Good. What's up?
I'm just listening to that last caller. He's right and he's wrong, in my opinion. I think Bednar should go. I think we need to keep Santana. He solidifies a closer role. We can give up Bednar. But you're right, 100%. It's coming down to Nutting. I can talk to you about trades, but if he doesn't open up the wallet, it don't really matter.
Yeah, it's a simple solution, at least an easier solution than just trying to wait for guys to develop, because that could take longer than you have. And again, I'm trying to time it with Paul Skeens in the roster for the next 2 years at least. Vinny, thank you. Appreciate that at 412-928-9370. Next up.
All right, here is Jeff. He's in Jeanette.
Jeff is in Jeanette, and now he's on the Fan. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Bob. Thanks for taking my call.
Good.
Listen, back when the Pirates were getting ready to draft, when Skeens was available, me and you had a discussion about hitting and pitching. And I made a point that pitching is more important. You made the point that hitting, right? Well, here we are. And your point's proven true.
Well, okay? I mean, obviously, they needed to shore it up several years ago, and they didn't do it in their drafting. None of the guys they've taken have panned out so far. And that's the problem, right? That's why hitting, I mean, you got to have both, obviously. If you get starting pitching that's good, Jeff, that gives you a huge advantage over a lot of teams who don't have that.
Right, so we can keep the score down. So if you score four runs, five runs, you should win the game with good pitching.
Correct.
Okay.
And that's been proven, I think, this year, hasn't it? Their record would be markedly different if they had any sort of, you know, they're dead last in runs scored in Major League Baseball. You're not going to win. I don't care how good your pitching is when you're dead last.
Absolutely. But do you abandon the pitching?
Well, I mean, there's ways to do it without doing that. Again, spending money in the offseason is one of them. Look, if you can't develop it, then you got to get it somewhere.
If we were in like $125 million, $130 million payroll, okay, like if we just increased it $30 million, $40 million, we could have those players. They're available. They're available out there, hitters that can hit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
And we're just not doing it.
They're not doing it. Starts with the owner.
You have to offset both sides. You have to offset both sides. Our pitching is unbelievable.
Well, it's been good all year, no question. Unbelievable is a statement that I don't know if I'd go that far after what I saw with the White Sox, but I get what you're taking. Jeff, I got to move on, but thank you, man.
Okay.
Appreciate it. Bob.